Hello, this is Jill with More Welsh, and you'll more commonly hear me recording some body sensing and movement awareness lessons or hypnosis processes to put up. And I've recorded these because in 1977 I qualified as a physiotherapist. As I've already said in a previous short podcast, there are times when I'm a little bit confused over some of the comments that are made about the profession, what's going on. And so what I've done is I've gone back to a 1932 original publication in 1932, which is Tidies, Massage and Remedial Exercises, of which I have a 1987 edition, but a lot of it is still the original wordage, and I have got an older edition upstairs somewhere that I can pull off the shelf. And I'm just taking out from here short extracts of writings, because this would have been some of the writing, obviously, that we would have covered as a student on our training. Now, I'm not for 1 minute saying this publication is the bee's knees at all, but I think if one puts to one side the fact that the fabric of the profession, as I would call it, the fabric of the profession has changed as we have had better understanding of some of the way that the body, if you like, the body and the mind and the whole system, the whole self works, some of the science advances in much the same way that, you know, the materials that you have available to you when you want to build a house are very different now from the materials that were available in the 1930s. There have been huge changes in manufacturing techniques and understanding of the nature of testing and using different chemicals and all sorts of things. So, you know, there are always advances, if you like, as we as science progresses, we find out how to, you know, how to make things out of different materials. I mean, back in the, you know, in the 1900s, for example, you know, Victorian supports were all made out of iron, which are all rotten and rusty. And nowadays we use completely different materials which don't react to the environment in the same way. And that's because of science and because of research. So a book such as the one I'm referencing here, of course there are going to be phrases and words and statements which, when you read them now, you know that the underlying knowledge has changed. We've had difference in changes. Some of the photographs in this book, for example, showing some of the horrific twisted postures that people can adopt, if you like, over time because they've got various problems with their spine, etc. Of course, this doesn't happen now because the orthopedic specialists, their work has changed massively. So I think one has to sort of put to one side some of the science that's there, but in the same way that you can look at a beautiful piece of art that has been painted, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and yet the actual fabric of the painting is falling apart. The materials are, you know, flaky, they need cleaning, they need restoration. You still have to look at the beauty and the art of the actual thinking process that went on. And I think that also applies within our profession. You know, we have a huge, very interesting thinkers that have gone before us over time. And the fabric of the profession, part of that has changed because of our science knowledge and understanding. But I'm just going to go in. We've got a new wave at the moment of health promotion, public health. So I thought that I'd have a look in this 1932 book and have a look and see if there's anything here that people were involved with, which they're still involved with now. And currently what we call our non-communicable disorders are really, you know, we're really interested in those now. And they were also interested in these in 1932. So on page 450 of my book, there's a reference to obesity. And I'll just read this little section. In present-day Britain, obesity is more common and gives rise to more ill health than any other nutritional disorder, in brackets Davidson. There are various types of obesity, but that with which we are most concerned is caused by excess of food, insufficient exercise, or both. It may occur at any age, but is commonest in middle-aged people, both men and women, who have begun to lead a less active life than they had done hitherto, and have not modified their diet accordingly. I love the wordage here. So what it goes on to say is symptoms and complications. These people suffer from a feeling of weight and heaviness and become fatigued on slight exertion. They feel the heat very much, perspire profusely, and easily become breathless. And I think, you know, I just love this picture that's being drawn here. So, you know, is this very different? We are now talking about physiotherapists being involved in assisting people to understand the importance of managing their weight to help them with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and various other issues. And here we are, back in 1932, talking about obesity. And again, another area where have we as a profession really made a profound difference to this, is the right word, pandemic? This issue, this huge problem throughout the whole of the world. If we're looking here about what they're suggesting about physical treatments, when they're talking about and they're talking about treatment, it's beautiful. I'm going to read this. Physical treatments, general treatment. The diet should be prescribed by the patient's physician. So obviously in those days, the diet should be prescribed by the patient's physician. And then it goes on. At physical treatment, it was the custom in the past to rely very much on massage for the treatment of obesity. All too often the result was an exhausted masseuse and a patient who lost weight very slowly, if at all. It's been said that over the door of every physiotherapy department should be written, "We cure nobody here. We help people to cure themselves." I think that's wonderful. I think that should still be printed in a big piece of paper on the bottom of an appointment card. In no condition is this more applicable than in that of obesity. The patient must help herself, or the work of the physiotherapist will be wasted. Many a patient will prefer having massage to exerting herself or restricting her diet. But it can be stated categorically that massage, particularly general massage, is neither necessary nor desirable for this type of patient. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing when I'm trying to do this. But I just think this is wonderful. The idea that people were going for massages to help them to lose weight. I suppose they still do that now, don't they? I suppose they go along and they get wrapped in cling film by their beautician and they have a sort of an inch loss detox. Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but it is true. And people are still thinking that they can magically get rid of their weight by having it rubbed away. I'm sure this still exists in beauty therapy salons, etc., up and down the country. And then it goes on here, exercises. And, you know, it goes in to, quite a number of different areas. And then it says, as regards the second and third points, the three points that have to be considered are the patient's need of oxygen to exist in the combustion of the body fats. Well, okay, we don't perhaps call it quite the same way, but we know that you have to exercise quite hard to burn up that fat. And that's the wrong description, so don't jump on me for calling it burn up fat. I do understand that. It's a wonderful metaphor that comes to mind when I say that. I imagine this person lighting a match and all fat burning would be wonderful. Second one, the necessity of vigorous muscular work to set free energy and break down fat. Well, again, we don't think of that. But the third, the extra weight the patient has to carry and the possibility of straining the heart. So some of those principles, we don't describe them that way at all now. But what it does go on and say, so this is why I'm saying it's a little like the structure of the ironwork in the bridge. We wouldn't use iron, but we would still put a structure in place or something similar. So what it says, as regard the second and third points, it should be realised that a large amount of exercise is necessary to obtain any considerable reduction in weight. And this is generally beyond what the patient is willing or indeed able to manage. She must, however, be prepared to do the best she can. A table of home exercises must be given, and these must be performed faithfully and regularly. The actual exercises must be vigorous, but not too numerous, especially at the beginning of the course. Resisted exercises may be given if desired, but we have to remember that the extra weight of the patient's body and limbs does constitute a resistance in itself, and moreover, that the muscles may be weak and hampered by fatty deposits between their fibres. So we're talking about the kind of exercise here, which is really quite commonplace now. We're using own body weight resistance exercises, which we see people doing out in the parks. We see them doing in CrossFit. We see that we're encouraging people to do everyday activities. But as I say, what I find interesting is that obesity is referenced here in this book that originates back from 1932. And I would leave you with this one question. Sorry, I'm smiling. I would leave you with this one question. Has the physiotherapy, physical therapist profession, made a contribution to reducing this problem with obesity? We knew this was a problem in 1932. What has the profession done to actually work to reduce this problem, or has the problem just grown? And I think when we are talking about our profession, what's really, really important is to talk about what changes we can make over time and into the future. So, just to read this little bit again, so to be clear, obesity. This is from Tidy's Massage and Remedial Exercise, originally published in 1932. In present-day Britain, obesity is more common and gives rise to more ill health than any other nutritional disorder, brackets Davidson. There are various types of obesity, but that with which we are most concerned is caused by excess of food, insufficient exercise, or both. It may occur at any age, but is commonest in middle-aged people, both men and women, who have begun to lead a less active life than they have done hitherto and have not modified their diet accordingly. I think that still applies. So I look forward to having some feedback and hearing what you think, and I'll be putting some other short extracts up soon. Take care.